I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about something that I did not warn Dan about and I did not warn Sam about. And I would love for you to join in the conversation. If this touched you in any way, it was 20 years ago today that Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why we're going to talk about this. I had read that one of the best documentaries ever done about this is streaming right now on Netflix. It's called Katrina, Come Hell and High Water. Okay? I would urge everyone to run. Do not walk. Watch any of the documentaries about it. National Geographic has a bunch of them. But the Netflix Come Hell or High Water is outstanding. We started it last night. And I think now that we have 20 years to look back at that time, even some of my opinions have changed about that horrifying snapshot in time and how things were handled and
the response.
And what could we have done better? Like all of those things. And one of the things I want to talk about is the memories that have faded. Certainly I had forgotten a couple of things about this, that the hurricane plowed into New Orleans direct hit 20 years ago, August 29th. The disaster did not unfold until that hurricane had blown clear through that city. And one of the things that they do a really good job about in this documentary, they go back and they pull the footage from CNN, from the local stations. Once that hurricane blew through, certainly Bourbon Street and the Central Business District were damaged, but largely unscathed.
The levees had not broken yet.
The levees hadn't broken yet. So all of the initial reporting was, meh, we've kind of dodged another one. It was intense, 150 mile an hour, 160 mile an hour winds. Mm-hmm. We had windows blown out at the Hyatt, like all of these things, but meh. The news reports, they were all down live in Bourbon Street. And look, there's even still a bar open over here. Everything's fine. Okay.
And the storm surge was capping the levees.
Yes.
But the levees were still holding true.
The rest of America sort of goes back to work. And then they start interviewing people. And there's this one woman in that lower Ninth Ward, Dan, who says, I look down to the left and you just see this wall of water coming. Once everyone had sort of all reported that New Orleans is fine.
Well, these storms, I mean, we don't live in a movie. And, you know, the storms don't do everything all at once. And this storm, Katrina, really was a storm with two different sides. Because it did not strike New Orleans directly. It struck to the east of the city. So they got the back end of it. But because of the surge as that storm moved north, pushed all that water up the canals and the way that they chop up.
Dan, the city officials did not even know the levees had broke.
Right.
They were at some meeting talking about the aftermath of the hurricane, and somebody came in and said the levees have broke. And the mayor is in that meeting, and they interview everybody in this documentary. The mayor says that is the equivalent of dropping a bomb on our town. We just never thought the levees would actually break.
And to Dan's point about the back half of the storm being the direct hit on the city, that also happens to be where the more aggressive bands of rain are.
Yes.
So on the east side of that storm, of course, it slammed in with the northeast quadrant into the Mississippi coast.
And I
went there.
Everyone wants to say, Dan, I know you were down there, and all my relatives are down there. Everyone wants to say, why the hell didn't people get out?
Well,
that is evacuating an entire city with a handful of days notice is on paper sounds like something that's a really good idea. The reality is very different. Listen into the trailer of the documentary here.
Before the storm came, me and my cousin, we ride our bikes through the Treme area. It never crossed my mind that would be my last bike ride in my community.
Hurricane Katrina is now a Category 5 storm.
They've built the levee system now to withstand a Category 3.
I woke up. My neighborhood had 20 feet of water.
I put my first granddaughter on the roof, turned around to get her two sisters, and she fell into the water and disappeared.
We survived Katrina. When the levees broke, that's what did us in.
The government's levees failed, and they left us. You just say that clear, they left us.
Federal, state, and local officials just were completely unprepared for something they knew was going to happen.
We predicted that people would be trapped in their homes.
I couldn't leave.
20,000 people showed up at the Superdome.
We didn't have any food, any water.
The governor said that she's ordered National Guard to shoot, to kill if somebody's looting. I'm not sure if you call that looting. I call that survival. The American people only knew what they saw on television.
TV news loves a crime story more than anything else.
We were treated as criminals.
Why are these people holding us against our will in here?
You can look and see that this was racial.
Is anybody gonna come help us?
We're part of a culture that we want a hero.
There's no blueprint for 80% of a major city being underwater. There's no blueprint for that.
20 years later, this is still real.
20 years to life, the time should fit the crime. Human lives cut down and out, left in waters to rot.
That's part of the trailer. Nearly 2,000 people died, by the way. More than a million people were displaced. And you're going to start seeing on a loop today, you'll see, remember, Mayor Ray Nagin. And people, rightfully so, had a lot of questions in the immediate aftermath. Why did you not mandatory evacuate the city? One of the things I had forgotten, Dan, was they had mandatory evacuated the city right prior to Katrina for Hurricane Ivan. And then at the very last minute, Ivan took a different path and New Orleans was completely unscathed. And so, you know, you have an entire population of people who are hourly workers. I think 400,000 people or something did not have access to any transportation. No cars, no way to get out.
And where are they going to go?
And where are they going to go? And they had just, I hate the term, cried wolf, because Mother Nature's going to do what Mother Nature did. But after Ivan, all the residents said, we're not leaving again. You told us to leave after Ivan. We spent money on hotels. We left. We lost jobs.
And how common is that story? I mean, we saw it with the Texas floods. We've seen it again and again and again. Same thing here in the Midwest. We hear the tornado sirens. We go and look to see if it's coming.
The word is hubris. You know, humans are like, it's not going to happen. But the bigger thing about Katrina is, I think, a discussion about priorities. Priorities by citizens and priorities by governments and the money used between. And we learned something very big during Katrina.
Yeah, that New Orleans is a bowl.
Well, we knew that, but the priorities.
Yeah.
You know, do we want to fortify a sunken city to a Category 6 level and spend the money to do so, or do we want to just roll the dice?
Or do you hope that it doesn't happen again?
Exactly.
Do you hope that it doesn't happen again? Anyway, it's been 20 years. The name of the documentary is Hell and High Water. It is on Netflix. I urge you to check it out. It is very, very powerful, very, very good. And I think does a good job of explaining why, quote, people didn't just leave. And by the way, by the time people did start to leave, you were running out of gas on the side of the highway because it's impossible, impossible to evacuate a city that size with a couple of days' notice.
And only a couple of lanes of highway. I mean, you can turn all of the highways to go one way out of the city, but that still is only six lanes.
There's one scene, Sam, where a guy finally gets up to the pump. Old, elderly man gets up to the pump and puts the gas pump in his car. And the cashier comes out and says, there's no more gas.
We're out.
Yeah. We are out of gas. 913-586-7798. We will be back with much more on Dana and Park straight ahead. Stick with us.